For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend, but now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club, and let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give 2 chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me 2 chickens and go, here you go, here are 2 chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters.
None of that.
Yeah, but none of that does any good, but... In developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things we did not get to during the course of the show today. Betty Rock is out. She's going to be out all week in California on vacation, so that's great. It's funny because she did not plan this, but her and my wife are both going to be in California.
That's so funny.
And they're both going to be at Disney at one point in time. I told my wife, I'm like, it's really weird that the two women who have the most control over my life are both gone, and I'm not sure if this is random or a conspiracy, you know? Like both of you are trying to do me in. I think they're plotting.
Retreat from you.
That might be it, too. Yeah. They're going to compare notes. but she's out today, and Gavin and I just noticed we go to close the door because it's been cold in the studio, and we have trouble regulating the temperature in here. And he goes, yeah, it's maybe because our heating blanket isn't on. She brings in a heating blanket for personal heat every day, and maybe that's throwing off the temperature in the room, and it's making it more wonky.
I think that the extra heat that radiates from that, especially like
on your side,
on this side,
right,
with the door closed, and then it's amplified by the tension that you feel from her being angry that it's hot in here, despite the fact that it's her fault.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a movie over the weekend that was up for one Oscars. The movie Coda.
Oh my goodness! The movie with all like the deaf actors
and Marley Matlin. Yeah.
Okay, I'm curious because I think it's on Apple Plus.
That's where I watched it.
Okay, I really want to see that now that I know it's there and I have that.
It's interesting. Yeah, you were a film guy. Do you ever watch movies that are critically acclaimed, or do you avoid them?
So I tend to naturally avoid them because I think that they are generally more boring than a traditional blockbuster.
Yes.
And the film major in me would love to admire and appreciate the noteworthy critically acclaimed films. But every time I sit down for, you know, we saw, what was it, The Lost Treasure a couple weeks ago, and that's just your run-of-the-mill blockbuster. Just, I enjoyed the snot out of that.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm sitting down to watch something like this, I'd prep myself more for a more intimate storyline and something that's more artistic versus funny and
this
outgoing.
This was an interesting movie because without the deaf component in it, I don't know that it would have been that. It would have just been whatever. It would have gone by. And Marley Matlin has been an actress, a deaf actress for years, hearing impaired, if I'm offending you, sorry. Or you didn't hear that, so I guess I'm okay.
Oh.
I mean, is that... I literally just thought of that because there's
a good
no
point.
Transcription for this, so I probably just made an apology for no reason,
we may
but
not
then undid
have,
it.
Man, we may not have deaf listeners or deaf...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No. So the thing about this is, like, the guy, he was really good in it, you know, and so I get why he won an award, you know, conveying emotion without words and stuff. I mean, look at the whole first half of Tom Hanks in Castaway. There's no dialogue, but you felt it, you know?
Good point.
It was good. So, you know, Tom Hanks could have played this role, too. But the movie itself, it was interesting. It's the story of a kid and her family of all hearing impaired people. It's the dad, the mom, and the brother all hearing impaired, and she's not. And so it's her story, and breaking free kind of thing, and it's a story of family and stuff. So while it centers around this kid, it's I would not consider it a kid's movie with some of the language and some of the adult situations.
Yeah,
and
I saw
stuff.
That it was PG-13.
Again, that's so hard for me, man, to wrap my head around when some of the stuff is like, and again, nothing was like really horrible, but like it's stuff that at 13 I probably wouldn't want to have conversations with my kid about, honestly.
Sure.
Like some of the adult themes inside of it, like inside of a marriage and stuff like that. You know, it's like I don't want to have that conversation at 13 with a kid. But it was weird because it was this mix of, I guess, Glee and Slumdog Millionaire kind of thing, and like well, wait, Slumdog Millionaire, that wasn't a that was a singing thing, right?
No, I think Slumdog
that was trivia.
Was the Indian character who won a lot of money. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But it was kind of like her storyline was that she is a singer or wants to be a singer, can sing kind of thing, and how that all plays out. And there's a little bit of conflict which you need, but.
You're yawning.
I know. As I'm thinking
it.
About it, yeah. No, it wasn't. But it wasn't bad. There's a moment where I got choked up, you know, at the end, and part of it you see coming and stuff. And you're like, oh, that was good. The most notable thing, though, surprisingly, was there's a music teacher in it, and the music teacher is super intense and I would say dramatic and slightly flamboyant, you know, and stuff. And so they get to the part near the end. And the music teacher's there, and he introduces his family to this girl's family, and he's like, "Here's my wife and my daughter." And I went, "What?" Like, I did not see that coming. To be honest with you,
we're not built to see that coming.
No, not anymore. And especially to the way he played the character. But then, surprisingly, in this day and age, this movie chose not to make that character a stereotypical, you know, gay character or push an agenda,
sure.
Which is so, I mean, there are groups inside of this world that give ratings to movies and networks based on their representation of things like LGBT.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting that they chose not to and did a good film and won an Oscar, you know, like, so
it can be done.
Yeah. You can just write a narrative, a good story, and you don't have to force an agenda into a good story, you know, kind of thing. Christian movies suffer from that.
Oh, sure.
They suffer from forcing an agenda, losing the creativity, and trying to, you know, write the salvation gospel, you know, steps for salvation into a movie, and it ruins the art of it, you know?
Because in their minds, they're worried that if they don't make it Christian enough,
right,
then they'll be called out for not making it Christian enough, and their audience in their head is that they want it to be for the Christian audience, for church audiences, and just hope that, you know, other people who don't love Christian movies might watch it and might
right.
be impacted by
it. Well, the Kendrick brothers are big on that. Like, they definitely have more overt or blatant, you know, Christian themes and the how you get saved and this conversion moment in their stuff more than like the Irwin brothers in their films. The Kendrick brothers movies, those are for the church, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that rare person you invite from the outside. but like Irwin brother movies, I think, go beyond the church and have kind of a, they have a faith, they're faith based, and there's a principle in that. Their last one, the Everybody's Under American Underdog,
okay, I thought, okay,
was surprisingly not super Christian, even though theoretically it was about Kurt Warner and his faith as a part of that.
Yeah, it wasn't as strong, but I mean, you know, they didn't disclude it per se, so there's still defiance there. Did they make the Jesus music documentary?
They did the Jesus music documentary, and there's actually a movie coming out in the fall about somebody from that time, some big pastor from that time, and I was really surprised they're doing that story. Is it the Greg Laurie story? I forget, because I'm just not like into like famous pastors or celebrity pastors. I don't know any of them, and I think that they're making a movie, and I know that John Irwin is really passionate about this, and but this one definitely feels like it's going to be more inside the church for them. Like it's a church project. It feels like, I could be wrong.
Okay.
But anyway,
I was thinking of music teachers though in certain movies. Did you ever see that one drumming movie with the was it J.K. Simmons? And he's just like this uber intense drum instructor, or not drum instructor, but it's a whole you know, choir band thing. But he's like super hard on the kid who replaces the drummer, and he's like a scary teacher.
Yeah, I do remember that vaguely.
Man, I can't remember what it's called.
Will Smith might be losing some jobs. Sorry, Will.
Happy Monday.
I know, I'm yawning. I'm so tired today. Yeah. I apologize.
These days, like, coming in is, we love doing this job, but the sleep that we get on Sunday nights is never as good.
And when you're one third down, like, you've got to get in earlier too. Will Smith, actually, he resigned from the Academy, apologized to Chris Rock, but now some of his movies that he's been working on are on hold, or like on the back burner, including Bad Boys 4.
We were getting a Bad Boys 4. They recently, a couple years ago, made the third one.
Yeah. All the movies, though, that he could do in this time, Bad Boys 4 would be it.
That is,
because his character is the bad boy in the movie.
He exudes violence in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect.
Like, why does it have, that movie doesn't stand for the opposite of what they want, the slap on the Oscars too. That's so dumb.
What's interesting is he had already filmed a movie called Emancipation for Apple. It's in post-production now, and it was supposed to come out sometime this year, but there's no release date, and Apple is not answering any questions. I think they're just buying their time, see how things go.
Well, eventually, if we kind of blow over this, we're still in the heat of it, but if it give it another month and we've blown over it, just put it on. Yeah. I'm going to watch it.
If you are flying, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but flying, there are so many cancellations from airlines now. Like, 3,500 flights got canceled over the weekend. And I was surprised. My wife, I was so thankful her flight did not get canceled. And she was on one of the airlines that was pretty affected by it. Southwest, I think, canceled the most flights this year. But they included weather reasons, and Alaska Air, if you're flying them, you might want to check into it. They have some pilot issues, like, with their contracts, and so that added extra flights being canceled for them as well. So you just have to be really aware when you're flying. I don't like taking long car trips anymore, but I'll tell you, man, if my car trip can be under 8 hours, I think I would rather do that than fly. I mean, by the time you get to the airport, fly, all the headaches, the cancellations, the delays, the rental cars, I almost would rather just drive at this point. It's just getting easier, and it's still cheaper, because even with gas
still
prices
cheaper,
up,
yeah.
Because flights are so stupid expensive now.
Yeah,
so.
Because in 8 hours, you probably could fill up every 4 hours, so that's 2 times, which is probably still under $150 if you have, like, the worst type of, gas guzzler. So that's still $300 maybe for a whole family compared to however many plane tickets you might buy for your family or for just you.
Yeah, it's just I used to love flying, but it's just gotten to be where it's not enjoyable anymore, and everything has been harder with it. And so it will be interesting to post-COVID if things get easier, because honestly, like, that, when I went on vacation last week, the airport, I had to put a mask on. I had to remember, take a mask, because you got to wear a mask on the airport and on the plane, because nowhere else in my life do I have to do that. And then at the cruise ship in the terminal, I had to wear a mask to walk in. The second I walked on the boat, they're like, take your masks off. It's fun time. And so I'm curious how some of that will change and make travel a little bit easier and a little better. But I just can't figure out the weather thing. They seem to cancel more flights due to weather now, and I think it's because they can claim weather and then not have to pay you, reimburse you, put you up in a hotel, because there are rules that they are governed by, that for certain cancellations, they have to make good on certain things, but weather or acts of God is not one of them.
And so
I think one time that's like it gets a slight bit blustery, and they're like, "Oh, sorry, weather, going to cancel all these flights." Yeah, or because maybe they're not making as much money as they thought they were going to make. But it seems like all my flights have been full lately, too, man.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh!
I still haven't been on a plane. I was on a plane last summer when we went to New York and had to wear the mask the whole time. There was like a general sense of like everyone just was more tired on that flight. Mm. Not that you have to be energized for a flight, but it wasn't like too hectic or busy. And I still can't imagine being on one of those planes where people Or where one person decided it was their day to lose it.
Oh, no. I would lose it on them.
Yeah.
Like, dude, sit down. Like, don't mess up my trip. I got to get to, you know, where I'm going. Shut up.
How hard is it really to just listen and do what they ask you to do?
I get it.
For a couple hours.
Yeah, you don't agree with it. That's fine. I get it. But, like, some people, though, they feel it's their duty, right, patriotism to stand up to that. And I understand that, too. I get both sides of it. But just do that on your own time. Like, you want to make a stand? Make a stand. Don't cancel my flight, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because I'm just trying to get where I'm going. I don't care. What was the thing? Oh, my wife pulled, like, a thing that I was like, oh, I don't know if this is cool or not. We were on a flight. We were on a Southwest flight, so it's open seating. And I always take the window seat, and she takes the aisle seat now. Somewhere that just changed. I used to always get the aisle, but now she's like, I need the aisle. Okay. But we always sit window and aisle and leave the middle seat in the middle, hoping that no one will take it.
Yeah,
that's
smart.
Then we move together and then we got more space. And sometimes people sit in there because it's a full flight and other times they don't. So on this last trip we were on, I looked down and she had actually put her Kindle in the middle seat. I'm like, oh no. I was like, I wasn't moving it, but I'm like, damn, that's just like, that's not a cool thing to do.
You're playing the game at that point, like, which is tough.
Not cool.
Ooh.
So then on the flight home, she didn't put anything in the seat, and it was supposedly a full flight, and no one sat with us. The one last lady that came down the thing was so great. I don't know if we just look angry or something, but we're sitting right across the street or across the aisle from our friends Molly and Greg. She comes down the aisle, and she picks their aisle. They're like, yes! So we all thought we were getting no one in our row, and then they got it last minute. But I asked my wife when that happened. I said, yeah, you didn't put the thing in the seat. I'm like, that's cool. I think that's better you don't do that. And she's like, well, this was a full flight. And I'm like, wait, what? And she goes, well, they said the other one, they said they'd have about 20 seats. So I just threw my thing there. I'm like, I still think it's uncool. Like, I don't think you should do that even if they say they have seats personally.
Though it is,
because you're not supposed to save anything.
Though it is like the middle seat.
Yeah.
And the people who, I guess at that point, if you're like talking about the last few people,
they're all middle seats.
Right. So they should be able to choose exactly which. Because every middle seat's going to be awful.
Right.
So especially if you're closer to like the middle or the front, if you can help someone out like that.
Because then at the end, like when that girl sat with Molly and Greg, I instantly thought, well, what's wrong with us? Like,
oh,
we don't take up much room in the seats. I'm not hogging armrests here.
I look nice.
Yeah, I look nice. I smell good. Like I'm sun-kissed from the cruise I was on, like the tan. Come on now.
I'll share my pretzels with you.
Yeah, I took it personal, I guess. But anyway. All right, I think that's going to do it. Oh, do you have birthday?
I do.
Ah!
Panicked midway through because I hadn't had the link pulled up, but did my job.
Nice. Way to go.
Great. We have the Melissa the Wally Show historian is wishing Becca. Oh, yeah. Becca, formerly of the show.
Is it Becca's birthday?
Is it her birthday today? It says 4-4. It's 4-4.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that right?
I think.
She is on vacation
right
now.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
so we can't go say we haven't seen her and not said anything.
Oh, good. We caught a pass on that one. And then when someone gets back like a week later, like you don't have to get them anything. You're fine. Okay.
Yeah. Do you know Betty's birthday off the...
Oh, absolutely. Because it's Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, that's easy.
And because she hurt me for like 9 years straight on that day.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a lot of memory. Do you know mine by heart? And I kind of just hope you don't, because I don't think guys have to know each other's birthdays.
No, like I used to know Zach's because it coincided with an event. I think he's October 4th. And I want to say that I always thought that you were in October as well. But then I thought, no, wait, I don't think he is. My daughter's is November 20th. And I think you're somewhere between October and November.
You're correct.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Is it October?
It's November.
It is November. Okay. I have you in my phone for when it gets close. But like, I'm not thinking about birthdays right now.
Yours is August?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. All right. Well, I think, did we have any other birthdays? We good?
That was the only one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay! Woo! Well, that's going to do it for the aftercast and my big stretch like a cat in the sun.
We made it.
I know. So good. And we'll do this all again tomorrow.